Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
What is up, everyone? Welcome back for a brand new edition of Collider Ladies Night with someone who I've been eager to get on the show, Iowa Debris. Congratulations on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem, which is exceptional and like a whole bunch of things that you have accomplished very recently that we will talk about.
Okay, yeah, thank you.
So before we get to any of those specific titles, we play a game on Collider Ladies Night.
Let's do it.
It is called Dicey Questions. Usually it involves an actual dice tower. The dice tower is not portable yet, so
All right, no worries.
Got 8 random questions here. Okay. You pick 3 numbers, one at a time, because I will not remember what you pick.
Okay.
And then whatever question they correspond to, that's where we start.
I'm understanding.
So 1 through 8, what is your first number?
7.
Number 7. Yay, you hit my favorite one. This one is called Scream. So there's obviously only one question I could be asking now. What's your favorite scary movie?
The original Candyman, I would say. Yeah.
Excellent choice. Excellent choice. Do you have a favorite horror subgenre?
I like a psychological thriller, if that can count as a horror. I think about, like, oh my gosh, why am I forgetting the name now? Clary.
Silence of the Lambs.
Silence of the Lambs.
Like, I can help you with these.
When I think of Silence of the Lambs, that's freaky.
We need you in a horror movie now.
I mean, let's see who's around.
I speak things into existence on
this. I love that.
Night. Now it's going to happen. Yeah.
Do you want to speak like a pool into existence?
I'm going to speak an Emmy nomination into existence. I have no problem saying that out loud because I say things that are true and I think I say things that are deserving as well. But I'm going to say one more thing to try to manifest it. Of all of the iconic horror franchises out there, if you could join one, which one would you pick and why?
I feel like people have fun on the Chucky movies.
They do.
I just feel like that's like a fun like set.
That's a nice...
I would do that. Or I would do like a Saw movie and really just get like... something freaky happens to me.
Both are still going.
Yeah,
both are alive and thriving
now. Final Destination reboot.
Well, they're making a new one. I don't know where they are with casting, but the directors who are making that movie are A-plus guys, and I feel like that should happen.
Great. We're manifesting things from here.
Before I spend all of the time on one question, what is your second number?
This interview with my shadow agent. My second number is 4.
All right. Number 4 is also a fun, silly one. There is a zombie outbreak.
You
could pick 2 past co-stars to team up with. Who do you pick to give yourself the best chance of surviving?
Absolutely Eben. I think Eben Moss Backrack. He's tall. He works out, but not too much. He's got, like, good survival skills. He can cook. I feel like... I feel like he'd be a good survivalist. And then, I don't know, I might have to do 2 bear people. I'm just thinking of the roster and I don't really know. I'm like also a weak link for sure.
What's your greatest skill and your greatest weakness in that kind of scenario?
Oh, I think I can keep the vibe up.
Vibe is important.
I'm dying in the zombie apocalypse, and I know that. And then my greatest weakness, I think I don't really know how to do many things.
I'm a good runner, but I can't do things like cook.
I can run.
I would like starve.
I can cook.
We'll team up.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
Can you like start a fire though?
That's a problem.
Mm.
I don't know if I could start a fire so you could cook.
I don't know. Okay, yeah. I might just have to peace out on that one.
Yeah. We gotta brush up on our skills and we'll revisit this conversation at a later date. All right, your last number here.
My last number, I'm gonna say, let's do 1.
All right, number 1 is, I'm glad you landed on this one because before I came here, I was watching your interview with Hailee Steinfeld from Tribeca.
Yeah.
And now that I know you're really good at interviewing, I want you to do my job for me and tell me which question you wish more people would ask about the acting process in these kinds of scenarios.
I don't really know, honestly. I have a hard time talking about process. I feel like I am not that type of person. I'm not, like, method acting or anything. Yeah, I don't really know. I'm pretty solid with the questions I've gotten. I like just like dumb questions. I feel like more dumb questions.
I mean, yeah. I could give you one more. Let me give you one more dumb question.
Yeah,
I'll give you
it.
My turtle specific question.
Oh, sure.
This one's called Your Pizza. I want to know what your like food version of their pizza is. Like the thing that you could eat all day, every day, in any variation imaginable.
Ooh. I really like Japanese food. I really like curry, like Japanese curry, even though I'm half Caribbean, so you know what I mean. Like, I love Caribbean curry too, low roti situation, but like Japanese curry, I feel like I could just eat nonstop, especially because they have like the little like pickled like radish on the side,
okay.
like red pickled radish, you know, cuts it.
Solid choice, and again, a whole lot of variation, so
yeah.
if you have to eat it over and over, you're safe.
I'm okay. Yeah, make it spicy, make it not. I feel like it's like not as portable, so like if I had to go on some sort of sewer-based adventure, I'd have a bit of a tough time.
I want them to animate
Japanese
that into a sequel
curry.
Now.
But you know what I mean, all you can do is dream.
Yeah, really. I respect these dreams.
All you can do is be honest and dream.
Yes. All right, we have our first official question in the meaty part of the interview here.
Devastating. That was just an icebreaker. Devastating.
Yeah, really. Every single Ladies Night starts here. What is the first movie you saw, performance you saw, personal experience you had, you name it, that made you say to yourself, I have to, well, for you, it could be different. I have to be an actor. I have to be a comedian. I have to be a writer. You do so many things.
Oh, man. That's so interesting thing. The first piece of stand-up that I really was obsessed with. My crush gave me a rip of Dane Cook's like Live from Madison Square Garden. And I remember I like downloaded it onto the family computer and it gave us like a virus. But then that kind of like, I was like, whoa, stand-up. And then I got really into like Cat Williams, like that early Dave Chappelle and like Chappelle Show. And that just opened the floodgates. But transformative experience, I would say, seeing Wicked when I was in Speaks to Me, when I was in elementary school. That was very transformative. That did a lot of damage.
I can understand that.
That did a lot of damage.
I went to school at NYU,
okay.
and I spent every free dollar I had seeing Wicked over and over.
Sometimes
and over.
You just gotta. I saw it. I saw it recently. I saw it very recently, and I cried. I cried three times. Whatever.
I don't blame you. I've been there as well. So you have those sources of inspiration, but then you go to school and get a teaching degree. What
yeah.
inspired that?
Well, I didn't finish my teaching degree, so there's that. I really like working with people. I like working with kids, and I really love history. I love English. So I think before I could conceptualize doing something like this as a actual career path, that was a job that made sense to me, and I knew there were skills in that job that I was decent at. The actual teaching part, I don't know, not so much really. But that felt like a job where I told myself, like, I could do this day to day and feel like I'm doing a good thing and like I'm happy and it's related to creativity and you're working with kids and maybe I can like do improv or comedy on like the nights and weekends.
All right, that sounds like a fair balance. And I know you did some of that with classes and stuff, but first, is that where you met Rachel when you went to school then?
Yeah, at NYU, yeah.
What was the first thing that happened between the two of you that signaled to you, like, this could be a good creative partner for me?
We were talking about this recently, because for her, she remembers, we did this sketch together, and she remembers, like, watching me in the sketch and then being like, oh, something's here. But I just remember being at a party, and Rachel was, like, drunk, and she was, like, talking to somebody, and she was like, I don't care what anybody says, like, I'm gonna be doing stand-up, and, like, you can do it in the city. And I was like, who is this? She's a lot, but I think I love her. Yeah.
It was like an A-plus impression. I feel like I could hear that in her voice as you said it.
Spend a lot of time together.
She has been on Ladies Night in the past. I'm going to give you a question where I just like remember her answer so vividly. I also love this question. But when you decide you want to get into this business, whether it's being a working actor, a comedian, whatever, what do you think the first step to doing that is? And now having done it, would you recommend that first step to an aspiring actor out there or suggest something else?
So, like, what do I think my first step was?
Like, what did you think the first step needed to be back then?
I think I thought the first step I don't know, it's just like getting signed. And I didn't know what that meant or how to do it. So I was just like cold calling people nonstop. I was just like sending crazy emails to managers and agents. Yeah, that's why we're friends.
That's what she said.
Rachel
she...
gave me the idea probably.
Oh God.
Now that I'm thinking about it.
She told me she emailed the Twilight casting director asking to be background.
I emailed because my dad got the email. This is so insane. Did you ever watch The Affair? Yes. That woman, why can't I remember her last name? Mara Tierney. Mara Tierney, who's from Boston. Somebody my dad worked with is her cousin, and so I got her email and I sent her my resume. Mind you, like, I was in college, so this isn't like an early dream. Like, I was like, I could vote. And I sent her an email with my resume and like my headshot, and I was like, I write, like, I produce, like, I act, like, but I'll do whatever, like, I'll clean up the porta potties, like, please, Mara Tierney, like, what do you need, girl? And obviously she never emailed me back. That's literally, don't ever do that. Don't do that.
I will say, I did that, and I got a response and an offer for an internship.
But that's different because you went to, like, a job, or, like, a person who can give you a job.
No.
I went to Mara Tierney, who was, like, an actress on The Affair.
I emailed a producer of a major film franchise out of the blue.
But that's, like, a producer. You know what I mean? It's not, okay, like, Mara Tierney in The Affair. Like, if somebody emailed me for a job on The Bear, don't do that. Like, with love and respect and, like, hope for your career, don't send me an email. Don't do that.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
What would you credit with bridging the gap between having a dream to work in this industry, getting your first job, and feeling like you're really doing it?
I think just, like, getting that first job, like, being able to probably quit my backup jobs, like the jobs that were supplementing income, being able to, like, stop babysitting and, like, picking up restaurant shifts. And that, I think, happened when I got my first writing job, because even when I was assisting, I would still be picking up things on the side, because it's hard to make a livable wage in this big old rolling town we call Hollywood.
But
That first writing job, I think, definitely changed things for me.
Of all of your earliest jobs, or I guess any job for that matter, which one do you credit with putting into focus most what is most important to you in terms of the stories you're telling and the types of on-set environments you work in?
Oh, I mean, I think The Bear, for sure. It's just such, like, a beautiful, positive experience, and it's such a... a show that I know can be stressful to watch, but filming it is so gentle, is so just focused on the work, and just getting it done and being decent to each other.
I'll jump to that one briefly then. When you first signed on for The Bear, what is something about Sydney's journey and who she was that you were most looking forward to playing? But then also, what is something that popped up along the way about her that was more creatively fulfilling than you ever could have imagined?
I was really looking forward to, like, taking cooking classes. I was like, wow, I feel like a real actress. I'm learning just a skill. I was always very jealous of that whenever you see, like, some actor on, like, a late-night show and they're, like, flipping butterfly knives or whatever. I can't do that, but I can make a really good
roast
chicken.
Maybe we should will you into a zombie apocalypse movie, and then you'd have a reason to, like, learn skills like
that. Yeah, I just feel like that, though, I would be, like, muddy a lot of the, like, the filming process. I don't want to be too old. Yeah, but I really enjoyed the fact that she's flawed, and I think she feels like a real human being to me. She's not perfect. She makes mistakes. She makes a lot of mistakes, but she tries to learn and grow from them, and yeah, that the journey is not super linear is very exciting.
Before I jump into too many specific titles here, I wanted to ask you about working with number ones on the call sheet. Because when you find a special one that really sets the right kind of tone and environment on set, it's really important. And you've got quite a few here, like Hailee Steinfeld, Quinta Brunson, Jeremy Allen White. Do you find that a great number one on the call sheet has any shared trait where all three of them have it, but then also can you tell me something different about each of them that, you know, sets the tone in a unique way on each production?
I mean, they're all just incredibly skilled, I think, and have really hard, impressive work ethics, which I feel like is definitely something that trickles down. But also just like kindness, patience, having a good attitude, that's all very important. And they're all different people in their own ways, but I think those are definitely shared traits that they all have. Yeah.
It's that simple. If only everyone would realize it's
simple. Yeah, but it's also like, it's not when you're getting up at like 3 a.m. and you're in makeup for 2 hours and scripts are changing or, you know, like sets change. There's a lot of people always wanting your attention. Like, but also it's like, that's part of the job and that's like the fun. And so...
Okay, I'll go with that for a minute. Can you kind of like peel back the curtain and share maybe a time on any set you were on where like the pressure was high, you were stressed, and you needed to find some sort of like relaxing outlet or a support in order to, you know, power through it and get the job done well?
I mean, on Bottoms, it was just so hot in New Orleans.
Oh, no.
It was just hot. And me and Rachel are playing these, like, troubled teenage lesbians who are just wearing, like, huge polos. Every t-shirt is bigger than God. And, yeah, we were all very hot, and we were doing a lot of stunts outside. And it was also, we were shooting overnights. So that was, like, you're just tired because you get to set at, like, 3 p.m. and then you're like there at 3 a.m. and you're like, is time real? Are any of us? Are we all sort of astral projecting? And maybe yes. We were making TikToks together just like to de-stress. And that was cool. Yeah.
It makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah.
When you're working on a film and a character like that, a character that, you know, like, make some bad decisions. Sometimes she's mean, but you need to make sure you never sever that connection to the viewer, and the viewer is always rooting for her no matter what. So what is the key to being able to swing big in those respects but never lose that connection to the viewer?
To be honest, I think I don't really think about the viewer. I think if you're thinking about how people are going to receive something, it's, like, impossible to tap into the character. So I think just, like, making sure that you are connecting with the director whose vision it is and with the other actors around you to make sure that you're keeping, like, the story straight and the emotions there. Even though, like, Bottoms is, like, a crazy comedy. But it's, like, if we... As long as we're locked in with each other, like, that's what matters the most. And, like, Emma's locked in. But we did do a lot of... in prep, like, we would go, like, page by page, line by line, like, tracking the emotions, making sure she felt like an actual person to me underneath all the ridiculous things she's saying or
doing. Is that something specific to Bottoms, or do you like to approach all your roles that way?
I think that's something that was specific to that process with Emma, for sure.
Do you have a, like, a consistent thing you like to do to prep for all these roles?
I mean, like, really, truly, honestly, the one thing that popped in my mind was that I just watch a lot of, like Miss Marple sort of vibe stuff, like, while I'm filming.
Okay.
Like, things like Psych, Monk. Like, I like procedurals that just kind of, like, soothe my brain a little bit so I can just, like, focus on work.
I respect that choice. Going back to Rachel briefly, because correct me if I'm wrong, I think that's the first time you acted opposite one another since Rachel and I are single.
Yes. Yeah.
So what is something about your collaboration that stayed the same from that to Bottoms, but also what is a new layer that you had to add to suit Bottoms?
I think Rachel and I have always been able to bounce off of each other really well, just like even as friends. But so I think, yeah, there's always been like a baseline of banter that we have and this understanding of each other's voices. But since that time, so much life, I think, happened for the both of us, personally and professionally. And I just had this really crazy sense of like, wow, we both have just grown so much, like in our actual skill set. And so we were able to bring our different areas of knowledge to this one project and just like sort of help each other. It was really honestly like one of the best experiences. We were in like a honey wagon, like sharing a honey wagon, like in the middle of like lightning storms in New Orleans, but we just felt like we were sharing a comedy brain. Like, it was dope.
Literally where I'm going on Thursday, and all the talk about heat there is just like making me sweat early.
I don't want to say anything negative about New Orleans, but it was really hot.
I've been warned.
There were lightning storms, and
the leather jacket stays here.
Yeah, there were termite swarms where the termites would be mating, and they would be in the sky.
I'm sorry? No, I'm going to Google this later, and it's going to keep me up at night. And
just
it's gonna
like,
be,
don't film like a teen lesbian sex comedy at night across from a lake, and I feel like you'll be fine. But there were all these crew members. We would all be like so hot, and they would just be like, "Hey, don't worry, baby. Like, trust me. Like, this isn't even that bad." Once I left to go to work, and I came back, and I had no steps. And you'd just be like, "What are you talking about?" And they'd be like, "The termites," you know. So yeah, but New Orleans is cool, okay. Jazz. yeah,
I'll be fine.
Beignets,
yeah,
Zatarans.
I'll just keep thinking about those keywords.
Mm.
For Turtles now. So one of my favorite things about this movie is that it feels like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles I grew up with and no one loves so much, but it also feels uniquely its own and like it can be an on-ramp for someone who has never seen anything Turtles related in their life. So with that in mind, what is something about previous iterations of April that you wanted to hold tight to, but then also what's something you deliberately did to make this version of the character your own?
I think the fact that she's like a journalist, that she's got this friendship and this bond with them, and is such an iconic character to people. I feel like there's just a lot of people have so much fondness for her, a lot of early first crushes. But I loved that in this iteration, I felt like she just had so much agency and was her own person, and had her own goals. And with that, knowing that, wanted to, like, uses that or feels that in tandem with the Turtles, if that makes sense. Like, she has her own goal, she has her own drive, she wants to, you know, crack a story, but she realizes throughout the journey of the movie also how important friendship is with these little turtle freaks. So, yeah.
The chemistry in this is impeccable. Is it safe to assume that you did get to do your sessions with the other actors?
I got to do some, but mostly the boys were just going together, and then I was, like, responding to their everything.
Is there anything you heard one of them do in one of their recordings that like shocked you and maybe brought something out of your own character that you didn't expect?
What it did bring out in me, I think, was the feeling of being like a teenage girl around teenage boys. We were just like, oh my god. Okay, yes, absolutely. Either I will just sort of be silent and watch this, or I will just say, this is dumb. In a loving, fun way.
I get it.
If you've been a teenage girl, then you know that feeling. There's a bacon, egg, and cheese bit that was really shocking to me. that was just really shocking, and is incredible. But I was just shocked by it.
It goes on for a while.
It goes on for
and
so
it's great.
Long.
It goes on for just as long as it needs to.
And I think I don't know if I was there for that one or one other moment, but I just remember really being like, okay, yep, uh-huh, yep, okay. And then like in the actual film, it's like me being like, uh-huh, yeah, okay. It's all right.
Just like one of many pitch perfect moments in this movie. I have to wrap with you soon. I will end with one silly question. I play a would you rather acting game fairly often, and one particular question suits your character in this movie quite well. Would you rather have to fake sneeze or fake vomit in a scene?
Devastating. Fake sneeze. I feel like I've actually done my fair share of fake vomiting, believe it or not. I would love to do a fake sneeze. I love, like, in Bridge of Spies, Tom Hanks, how he just, like, has a cold throughout the whole movie. I think that's, like, so sick.
It's not the reference I was expecting to hear during a Turtles interview, but I like it.
Unfortunately, the one that I gave.
I could talk to you all day because you have so much wonderful stuff to celebrate. So,
Thank you. The door to Ladies' Night
is open anytime you want. Congratulations on Mutant Mayhem, Bottoms, Theater Camp, The Bear, and everything to come in the future.
Thank you so much. I was talking to you.